Jesus Christ condemned his generation, especially the religious leaders of his time, for their lack of understanding, for things that they should have paid attention to instead of seeking signs. Let's begin in Matthew 12, verses 38 through 42, and look at what he said. Matthew 12, verse 38, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'All an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, instead of seeking other things, perhaps, as I will get to in a moment. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. And the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation again and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here." The wisdom that God had imparted to Solomon. It's not that great things were not being done, but it's the motive behind the quest that Jesus is contending with here. Now let's go to Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. I'll read a little bit more about this. I think it's eye-opening for us to apply these teachings from Jesus Christ to ourselves. Not in the gallery, but down on the playing field, if you please. Matthew 16, verse 1. "Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven." Again, notice the motive behind their quest to test Jesus Christ. "He answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times.'" What was going on around them in their nation at that time as a captive people under the rule of the Romans? They should have understood that there was a reason why they had fallen into that situation. Verse 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." But if we continue now in chapter 16, in verses 11 and 12, we see that his disciples even struggled to understand the true message of Jesus Christ at that time. They were witnessing him walking on water, of the many, many things that he actually accomplished and did. Great signs, no question. But as yet, they had not really come to understand the greater meaning that Jesus Christ had in mind. Matthew 16, verse 11. "How is it," he questions them after he had given them a little kind of a parable style teaching. He says, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread," when he warned them of the bread of the Pharisees, "rather, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's look at one more introductory citation here in Luke 23 and verse 8. Just to address briefly this concept of seeking signs, and what the real motivation might be, because Jesus indeed did leave signs for us in prophetic teaching, things we could be looking for. Luke 23 and verse 8, this is about Herod and about Jesus Christ coming before Herod. Now, in this verse 8, now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. That was the motivation, not the teachings of Jesus. And we know that Herod had already had John the Baptist murdered, beheaded. So it wasn't that Herod was seeking anything true or right or good. Well, the parallel for Christians of this, our generation, is inescapable. Far too many seek signs and not the understanding that God's Word plainly can reveal. Remember, Mr. Armstrong started his, and was led by God to begin serving him and raise up a work. He called his magazine The Plain Truth. And it was quite a contrast to what was being offered out in the world at that time, the convoluted, upside down, and illogical doctrines that were being taught in Christianity across the nation that he was in at that time, the United States. Remember, let's think about this for a moment, exactly what was said by, or about, I should say, John the Baptist. And we can find that in John, the book of John, chapter 10, verse 41. John 10 and verse 41, we see that Jesus Christ has many people assembled around him, and this is getting fairly deep into his 3.5 years ministry. But then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. No sign, no healings, nothing. Just what? The simple, straightforward truth of God. And John bore witness of Jesus Christ that he was the Messiah. And yet that generation rejected this understanding and this teaching. John spoke the truth of God, and brethren, that wasn't enough for that generation. It just simply wasn't for most of them. If we understand a little bit about John the Baptist, as it's mentioned in the book of John, he identified his role before God, but to others, in John 1:23, as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Quite a sign, if you really take it for what it's worth, because this is fulfilled scripture. This is what has been given to the people of our day as well, as the fulfilling of scripture. Not great miraculous signs. None of us that I know of have been walking on water recently, but people have come through the knowledge of the truth to conversion, to a change of life, to an obedience and walking after God. In Matthew, there's an interesting thing. Let's go to that. Matthew 21, again, to point this out. The view of the people of that time, and these are the religious leaders, in Matthew 21, verse 25, Jesus was being challenged, as he was often, by these individuals or this part of the society of that time. Let's pick it up in verse 24. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And that's what they were wondering about. Since you're not part of us, Jesus, how is it that you can go around doing these things and speaking these things? And in verse 25, the baptism of John, where was it from? He said, from heaven or from men? No signs from John, but his work, what he did. And continuing in verse 25, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him. But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. You can see where their brain was stashed, you know, not in really questing for the truth. Verse 27, so they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said, well, to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But this is the attitude that they had about John the Baptist, who was one of the greatest men ever born in terms of God's view. And that's what Jesus Christ said. No signs, just speaking the truth, fulfilling prophetic prophecies or prophetic statements in the Old Testament. Now, consider what has happened to many who were called to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. Here we are in our generation. Paul, in both 1 and 2 Timothy, had warned of the times to come, if you please. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 3 through 4, just ask yourself as I read through this, does this fit? Does this apply? Does this describe the age, the generation in which we live? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, they're going to have doctrine, all right. No question about that. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to go on Facebook and to look at former friends, relatives, people who once knew the truth posting their holiday greetings, might just be a little bit of a fulfillment of what I've just read to you in 2 Timothy. This warning was also given by Jesus Christ concerning the rise of pervasive deception, which would truly overwhelm the many, and as we find that in Matthew 24. But right now, let's go to Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35. Another part of the message of Jesus Christ was specifically to this generation. Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35. Now, learn. This is instruction from Jesus pointed to his disciples. Learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all of these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation, and that's the title of my sermonette, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away, indicating that they will all be fulfilled. Our part in the work of God focuses on proclaiming the things Jesus spoke about. We have updates, we write booklets, we have the standing watch, the outpost and stand, plus, you know, just literally hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of literature to bring forward, to proclaim these things, to watch and to be ready for what is coming upon this society. Brethren, the indication is that a lot of us are going to be asleep, have been asleep, and if we have, and if we can answer to that call, you just have to ask yourself, is there more I could be doing in fulfilling what I understand from the Word of God? Well, then deal with your answer. I'd like to give you just a couple of facts to think about in the context of our generation in which we live, what this generation is experiencing right now, events and circumstances which never before were attainable, not possible, not even thought about, dreamed of. Daniel 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Is the book of Daniel still sealed? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now, we've understood in times past this running to and fro is literally the documenting in advance global travel like we experience now, among other things. Might be like the chicken with his head off, too. That's a running to and fro. But knowledge is increased. It's been given. It's been opened up. Now, that hasn't happened before. And this scripture is specifically talking about the time of the end. It ties into Matthew 24, verse 32 through 35, verses, I should say. Revelation 11, verses 9 through 10. Revelation 11, verse 9, then those from the peoples, and this is talking about the two witnesses, having been murdered, then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth, not just those in Jerusalem or word of mouth, passenger pigeon or whatever, those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They're make merry and send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, you can pick up your cell phone. You can see, if you've got the right program on it, something live in Jerusalem, you know, phone to phone. You can also go online and create gifts, right? Redeemable at your local Kmart or wherever. But the point is, we've come down to a period in history when this is literally, physically, technically possible. It never has been before where the whole world in that time frame could have understood that the prophets were dead, that they could rejoice because of all of the turmoil that the prophets, from their vantage point, had brought upon the earth. Well, there are many things that we can look to from the standpoint of the buds on the ends of the limbs, the trees starting to come out, to understand prophetically that Scripture is again being fulfilled. It happened in the time of Jesus Christ when he came, and the Apostle John, who was in the office of Elijah, as it was prophesied even of him, that he would come in that power. Again, once again, we're in a period of time when Jesus Christ is about to be revealed, but this time to the whole world. Let me repeat my opening statement. Jesus condemned his generation, especially the religious leaders, and let me just say the religious ones, for their lack of understanding, for things that they should have been paying attention to instead of seeking signs, pablum, candy, inconsequential things. Will we allow our love of one another, of God, of the truth, to grow cold? Will we turn away from the truth of God? Or, brethren, will we be watching, ready for the appearance of the kingdom of God in this, our generation?